Hello and welcome. You're listening to the New Mavericks Podcast, a podcast for creating, where we discuss who and what inspires us. Today, I get the pleasure of speaking with Annie Bennett, an artist with an expansive voice and talent for crafting rich and engaging harmony. Annie is a member and arranger for the a cappella ensemble Invox, a group known for their unique charm and diverse repertoire. Annie, thank you for joining me on the New Mavericks Podcast.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Yes, it is such a pleasure to speak with you. I've actually had this podcast in mind for a while. Annie and I kind of met when I was in Chicago.
Yes.
And we've been kind of Instagram friends and followers ever since. Let's go ahead and dive into the discussion. But before we talk about Invox or anything that's happening now, can you talk about the origins of the group and how you came to be a member?
Yeah, absolutely. So Invox was founded back in 2004, I believe, if I'm remembering correctly. That was obviously before my time in the group, but they were actually founded under the name Underground Sound, and shortly after changed their name to Invox Chicago. After the Invox or the Latin word vox for voice. Which is apropos for an a cappella group. And we've been performing as Invox ever since then. And it was basically just started just as a group of people who clearly very musically talented, enjoyed music a lot, but did not go down the path of doing music as a full-time career. That, you know, makes up a lot of the group even still. And it was just a way for those people to still have music in their lives, still have a sort of creative musical outlet. It's still kind of retained that as kind of their primary function. I personally joined the group back in 2018. So I've been a member for almost 3 years now. I joined for a similar reason, even though I do study music. But at the time, I was kind of in between projects. I hadn't done a cappella specifically for a long time, and I missed it. And I heard about the group, and I saw them perform, and I was wowed. They were just incredible, and I knew immediately that I wanted to audition for them. So I did a few months later when they had an opening, and the rest is history.
Wow, that's fantastic. And for you listeners, if you're not familiar with the style of music making known as a cappella, it essentially means that you're making music without instruments. You're purely using the combination of voices to create harmony, to create rhythm, to create melody, things like that. And so Invox is absolutely appropriate, just like you said, Annie, in that your group, you're using the voice to create all of these elements, all these conventions of music, and it's something that's really beautiful. You mentioned that the group's members don't necessarily do music full time. What kind of spread of, well, people do you have in the group? What is this group kind of composed of?
It does kind of run the gamut. Most of the members did some sort of music in college, they were in a college a cappella group sort of thing. Even if their major was something else. We do have a couple people, myself included, who did major in music in college. And there are some people who just really like to sing, and they're just really musically talented, and they're just kind of looking for a group of people with kind of shared interests and, just a sense of community and music making. So it really, is a pretty diverse group in terms of, background in music, even just, musical knowledge, which is really cool.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's one of the things that I like to emphasize on my podcast is that art and creation is really for everyone. If you have a passion, if you have a skill set. You don't have to be just one thing. You can be all sorts of things. The idea of a Renaissance person, as it were, is something that I think is more strongly present today than any other time in recent memory. So I love that. I love that about your group.
Yeah, absolutely.
So as far as Invox, what would you say, first, what is the spirit of Invox? Well, you know, what makes it up from an existential standpoint? And also, what kind of goals does Invox have in creating the music that it does?
I mean, I sort of touched on this earlier. I think the spirit of it is just a lot of people who just have a shared love of music and want to, you know, celebrate that, and who want to find a sense of community. Because music does that in a way that is so unlike anything else that I've personally ever experienced. It just really has a way of bringing people together. And so especially in a group like this, in a collaborative group, in a an ensemble, that's just very strong, that sense of community. And, you know, we just, our goal is to just have fun. You know, we're semi-professional, so we do hold ourselves to a certain caliber, of course, but, you know, we don't take ourselves too seriously. You know, it's a lot of just like, you know, we get to hang out with our friends every weekend and sing together and just, you know, have a good time. Which I think is really special. I certainly, have enjoyed being in the group for that reason, specifically, but, you know, I think it's clear, you know, when people are watching us perform, obviously I can't speak as an audience member anymore, but from what I've heard, talking to those of us, those who have seen us, you know, we're having a blast on stage, and I think that certainly translates to our audience. You know, because when we're having fun and we're enjoying ourselves, then the audience will too. And it's always the songs that we enjoy singing the most. It's always our favorite songs that end up being audience favorites too, which I think is just so interesting and so cool. So yeah, it's just about a shared love of music and just that sense of community that we have.
Just like you said, that spirit of fun that you have really does come across in the music that you make. I've enjoyed plenty of your recordings and seen your performances on YouTube, and that sense of fun and playfulness really does come across, and I love it. I think that adds a really unique character to your ensemble.
Oh, thank you.
So I know that you weren't around necessarily in the beginning, in the inception of Invox, but could you talk a little bit about why Invox chose the medium of a cappella, using exclusively the voice, to communicate the spirit and the music that you create through the ensemble?
You know, I don't, you know, obviously I wasn't there at the time, so I can't fully speak to, you know, the intention of that. Personally, for me, there's just something about a cappella music that's just special. I don't even know what it is. I just, there's something about voices coming together and creating something that one voice alone or two voices can't. That's just so incredibly powerful and so just special and different. And I love it. I don't even think I could put my finger on exactly what it is. It's just something just so cool and so visceral. And I would assume that is a sentiment that is shared amongst all my fellow members in the group. You know, current and past. It's just a really, really powerful experience to be a part of.
And I can see that. And I do think that the voice reaches out to the human experience more than any kind of instrument could. I mean, definitely you have beautiful instruments and beautiful compositions that really speak to the soul, but the voice is the most natural thing that comes to humans. And I think a cappella music really does capitalize it, capitalize on it might be a strong way of putting it, but it definitely uses it to its full effect.
Yeah, for sure.
Another calling card for Invox is that there is a lot of musical diversity. If you go through kind of your discography on YouTube and other platforms like that, it's really apparent that Invox, just like you said, you do what you love and you have a varied taste in music. So how do you feel about the musical diversity of Invox?
I love that. You know, there's so many different styles and genres that we have explored. And one thing that I love about being in the group is that most processes that we go through are very democratic. You know, there's a lot of groups where, you know, you have your music director who says, you know, for this season, we're going to be performing this, and this song. But we have a very collective and very democratic, as I say, way of picking the music that we do, because we want, you know, we want everyone to be able to have fun performing it and have fun singing it. So every member of the group gets to contribute. Every member of the group gets to suggest things that they would want to perform. And then we have a collective discussion and a collective decision on what songs are going to eventually make it into our set at any like given time. And I think that's really cool that, you know, the diversity of our music and of our set list really reflects the diversity within the group, you know, the group's members. And I think that's really, really cool. And it's interesting to see, you know, as membership changes, you know, as people leave and new people come in, kind of how the songs that we do or the songs that are put forth kind of evolve as well. It's really interesting to see that, and it's really fun. And you know, I've discovered a lot of new music that I never would have, you know, necessarily listened to or heard of. A lot of new artists that I really enjoy because other members of the group have, you know, brought those songs in. It's a really fun process.
It sounds like a really fun process, and I'm glad that it is democratic. And just like you said, I think that's a great way of putting it. And I have been in my fair share of musical ensembles that have had kind of an authoritarian mentality. Yeah. And that, you know, I think that kind of direction has its place, but it can be reflected in the way things are performed. And just like you said, Invox has a spirit of fun. And I think if you did have an individual or a couple of individuals who were more domineering, then that would affect the character of the group. So I'm glad to hear that. So there are a few famous a cappella groups that exist, such as the Pentatonics, for example, and they really had a heyday in media. So do you think Invox has been inspired by them, their process, even their kind of their presence as performers and as characters?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, Pentatonics are obviously huge amongst, you know, in the a cappella world, I should say. You know, we all, you know, love them as a group. Every holiday season, with the exception of last month, we always do the Pentatonics version of Carol at the Bells, which is always an audience favorite. It's one of our favorites too. So they're certainly a big inspiration for us what I didn't realize until I joined the group was the absolute wealth of material that is out there. You know, there's so many incredible groups that, you know, don't necessarily have the media attention as Pentatonics do. Specifically, there's a lot of college groups that are just really, really good. And we draw a lot of inspiration from those as well. There's a lot of really talented groups out there. Yeah, so like it's super interesting to listen to all of them and to get inspiration from all these different groups. And it's helped us as musicians. It's helped us as arrangers to you know, have these groups, you know, as inspiration for us.
You mentioned arrangers, and that's something that I firmly believe that every musician should have knowledge of composition and arrangement. I think it helps your overall musicianship. You yourself, I know you're an arranger for your group. And how did you kind of get into that role?
Oh, gosh, I don't know. I've honestly... You know, I've always loved arranging. I did a cappella when I was in high school, which is kind of where I fell in love with it. And, you know, through the couple of years that I did it then, I started to kind of develop an interest in arranging. And by the time I was a senior in high school, I did arrange a couple songs for the groups that I was in. I don't know. I've always just been fascinated by the ways that voices can work together. And so arranging is just always something that's come very natural to me, in the way that I've just kind of always intuitively understood how voices kind of work together. And, you know, through being in the group, we have our kind of core group of arrangers that, you know, provide material for the group. And it's been a lot of fun. I've learned a lot from all of the other arrangers that we have, because we all kind of have our own different styles. So yeah, I don't know. It's just always been something that I've been just very interested in. And it's been quite fun honing my skills over the past few years in the group.
And that's really what it is. Even in the world of composing and arranging, I think composing exclusively for the voice is it's a unique skill set, because even within, like, you know, in listeners who are familiar with composition and arrangement, you have kind of a set of guidelines that each instrument we'll go through, and you have a set range expectations mm-hmm. for that instrument. But the human voice is so flexible. You can go all the way from beatboxing, which, you know, is an extension of music making using the voice and the body, all the way to people who have crazy extended ranges and can make unique sounds. And, you know, you have things like language to deal with too. Yeah. That is such a big part of it. So, people who are vocal arrangers, a cappella, composers and arrangers, that's, for me, that's fascinating, because that's, a world that it would probably be one of those things where, like, I get into it and I think I know what I'm doing, but I really, really don't. So I really love and respect that about what you do for your group.
I appreciate that.
Yeah, absolutely. So you mentioned earlier, and I think it's been on everyone's mind, kind of the presence of COVID-19 and this international pandemic. That was a little bit redundant, international pandemic. but how has that affected the group? And also, if it has, how has it kind of motivated you to change direction or reinforce things you've already been doing?
I mean, it's certainly affected us as a group. You know, at the most basic level, you know, we're not able to sing together, and we haven't been for months. And, you know, that's been hard, you know, considering that we are a musical ensemble that has not been able to create music. It's difficult. you know, I think we are, you know, right now, at least trying to focus on the community aspect of the group, because that's what has seemed to serve us the best up until this point. Because, you know, again, sense of community is something that we're all kind of missing right now. So it's certainly been nice to have a group of, you know, 10, 11, 12 friends that you can, you know, still see every week, you know, virtually. And, you know, so that's certainly been good that we've still been able to find that. You know, as we kind of shift into this being much more permanent than I think we kind of realized at the beginning, it's become an interest of pretty much all of us in the group to use this opportunity to do some recording, which I think would be super fun. You know, I've done some individual recordings, et cetera, but I've never done like a big group recording with Invox. And as a group, we, you know, haven't recorded anything in a few years since before I had joined. So I'm really looking forward to that possibility. And, you know, obviously we're all hoping that we can sing together in person soon, but I think this is really, really a great opportunity for us to get some, you know, professional sounding recordings done of some of our newer songs and kind of get those out there in a more permanent sense, I suppose. You know, instead of just performing them on stage, you know, get them on iTunes and Spotify and whatnot. So yeah, hoping that that will kind of come into fruition pretty soon. But yeah, it's been hard, of course, you know, for any ensemble. You know, even, you know, because I'm in university right now and our choir hasn't been able to rehearse, obviously, you know, it's been difficult, but, you know, gotta do best we can and, you know, make the best out of it. So, yeah, hoping to get some recording done. Yeah, fingers crossed, we'll be back together soon.
Yes, I absolutely hope so. And I, this is the prime opportunity to, for everyone to dive into new ways of communicating. I think electronic communication is probably the strongest thing and the most available thing we can do right now. So, yes, and that's something that's really important to us at Maven Audio Design. That's what we do. We turn this lack of opportunity, hopefully, into something new and innovating. So I'm totally 100% behind you. And I love that. So we talked a little bit about recording and we're going to dive into that. But first I'd like to kind of show off Invox. I know that we have some recordings and I'd like to play it for our listeners here. So listeners, enjoy Invox, this recording, and we'll be right back. Loving you is in the right thing to do. How can I ever change things that I feel? If I could, baby, I'd give you my word. How can I, when you won't take it from me? Why everything turned around? You guys sound great. I really, really, I love acapella. It's such a people would consider kind of a niche thing, especially given the whole breadth of classical and pop music. There's just so much that goes into it, and acapella is such a unique and beautiful thing. So thank you for that.
Awesome. Thank you.
So we talked a little bit about recording earlier. And you yourself have been making some recordings and they sound great. You have a relatively new YouTube channel, which we're going to plug at the end. So can you talk about your experience recording yourself and hopefully how that's going to translate to stuff that you as an independent artist are going to do in the future and perhaps what Invox is going to do as well?
Yeah, absolutely. It's been a lot of fun being able to do that during quarantine. You know, especially because this is a time when many of us are feeling very creatively uninspired. I certainly felt that way for a long time. I didn't really have any sort of creative outlet for, you know, the first few months. But yeah, I just, you know, kind of a light bulb went off. You know, I was missing, you know, a cappella. I was missing arranging. And I was just like, well, you know, I don't have my group right now, but I still have myself. I have recording equipment. I have arranging software. I can, you know, arrange something, you know, just for me, and I can record each of the different layers and put them together. And, you know, voila, I have an a cappella song, you know, without an a cappella group, but it's been a lot of fun. And it's certainly been a fun way to, you know, be, you know, creative and musical, you know, in this time. And it's been a lot of fun. I think even just in the past couple months that I've been working on these arrangements, I think my skills have gotten a lot better, you know, which is fun. And I'm very much looking forward to arranging for the group, arranging for someone who is not me. Because that is a very fun part of arranging, specifically when you have a group with, you know, your core group of people. You know everyone's voice because, you know, it's, you know, you sing with them all the time, and you can arrange songs or you can arrange a specific vocal line, you know, for a specific person, which is something that I never really did before in Vox. And it's super interesting and very fun to kind of delve into that aspect of it, which, you know, makes arranging something for yourself easy since you know your own vocal parameters. But yeah, I'm definitely, I miss having an actual bass baritone. I can only do so much with my soprano voice, but I'm definitely looking forward to kind of using the skills that I've learned arranging, you know, for myself, and hopefully being able to bring that back to the group when we do eventually come back together. But yeah, it's been really fun. It's been really fun. It's been a whole new experience. You know, I haven't done anything like that before. And it's just, it's such a rewarding process, and I've enjoyed it immensely. And I'm hoping that even when, you know, COVID is over and things do kind of go back to normal, I'm anticipating that it's something that I will stay consistent with, because it's been a lot of fun, and it's been, you know, it's a good creative outlet that I've found. So, yeah, it's been great.
Yeah, and I've listened to your recordings and they sound wonderful. You have such a good voice for so many different types of styles.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's something that everyone can do too. We talk a lot about like technology and software and blah, 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 blah. And that's important. And it really is when you are deeper into it. But honestly, if anyone's got like a smartphone, you have every technology that you need to go out there and record and make and distribute music. So I encourage everyone to do that.
Yeah. I mean, sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt. I just wanted to go off of that. I mean, the first, you know, recording that I did, I hadn't purchased my nice microphone that I'm using right now yet. And I used my phone. And, you know, it doesn't sound quite as good as the microphone, but, you know, it's not a huge discrepancy in sound quality. And, you know, other than that, I just use GarageBand to put it all together. And that's that. You know, it's something that is very accessible. So yeah, it's something that certainly other people in my group have reached out and been like, oh, I want to try something like that. It's so much fun. And it's certainly something that is accessible to you if, you know, you're a fellow musician and you want to do something like that.
Yeah. It's something that is approachable for everybody. So listeners, go out there, make some music. But Annie, we've talked a lot about Invox and your place and their kind of spirit and motivations, but who is Annie as an artist, as a person outside of Invox?
You know, I've always tried to delve into as many different styles of music as I possibly could. And that's definitely something that I pride myself on. You know, I'm currently in school studying classical music, you know, so I sing everything from obviously a cappella and, you know, contemporary pop to opera. And, you know, I think I am still kind of trying to find my little niche where I belong. You know, assuming you need one, you know, I think especially nowadays, you know, the more versatile you are, the better. So I, you know, I don't really know how I would classify myself as an artist because I do sing such a wide array of styles, you know. So, I mean, I guess I could classify myself as something like as that, you know. But yeah, I have such a great appreciation for various different things musically. You know, I originally wanted to study classical music because I figured if I'm classically trained, I can sing just about anything, you know, if you have the technique for it. But I've developed such a love for it, for, you know, opera and classical singing. So, you know, I don't know if that's necessarily going to be the avenue that I go down solely. I'm sure I'll do plenty of opera in the future, but right now I'm not really limiting myself to one particular thing or another. I'm just singing whatever makes me happy and just kind of going from there and just kind of seeing what happens.
Honestly, that thought is such, it seems like it shouldn't be, but it's such a novel thing. You're singing yeah. what makes you happy. And right. I love that because especially in the classical world, there's this expectation that like, oh, you have to sing or you have to sing on stage or you mm-hmm. can only sing oratorio or whatever. And you're a concert musician or you're a stage artist, blah, 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 blah. I think that is such, you have to pardon my language. It's such a load of crap because you are a musician and you have the skill set. And I think, I don't think we should be limited to that. So I'm really happy to hear that. I love when I hear artists be like, yeah, you know, screw the convention. I'm going to do what I want to do. Yeah. And if people love it, great. If people don't love it, well, then there's a whole wide world out there that may be interested in what I'm doing. So I love that. Thank you.
Yeah, exactly. I, you know, I am very much against putting people in boxes, you know, because so many people are, you know, very multifaceted in talent and, you know, trying to limit them to one thing or another, I think is silly. So, yeah, I'm doing just kind of whatever I want at this point. So, yeah, just kind of trying to learn as many things as I can.
I think you're doing some really great things. So, let's stay in Annie land for a minute. or perhaps we can even talk about Invox with this question too. What are some of your favorite experiences as an artist? What has like lit up your world and been like, this is why I'm doing what I'm doing?
It's a good question. Honestly, it's the little things. You know, it's so easy to be like, oh, you know, the best experience was when I was, you know, the star, the leading role, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, obviously that's, you know, great if you have those experiences, but I find it's oftentimes the little things that, you know, you think back on in a time like this when, you know, we are all kind of not able to experience, you know, performing anymore, at least for the, you know, for the time being. This isn't exclusive to Invox. It certainly includes it, but I love singing with other people, you know, whether it's in an a cappella group or just, you know, singing an operatic duet. It fascinates me, you know, hearing voices together, which I know is something that I kind of touched on earlier, but I don't even know. It's so interesting to me to, you know, be like, oh, I can sing with this person who has this voice and it sounds a certain way. And then I sing with another person with this other voice and it sounds completely different. And just exploring, you know, the dynamics between, you know, different voices and different people. Again, whether it's 2 or 3 or 15, that's something that I've always enjoyed, you know, at any type of musical endeavor. And I enjoy the community aspect of singing too. You know, again, I did mention that earlier when I was talking about Invox, but, you know, one of the biggest things I miss about doing shows, is all the, you know, shenanigans we get into backstage. It's so fun, to just be in that type of environment and, you know, be with people who kind of share the same, love of music as you. And, you know, I've made some lifelong friends, both in Invox and in just, you know, doing, you know, stage shows, around Chicago. And it's stuff like that, that's what I really take away from it. And that's certainly what I miss the most right now. So yeah, it's, I guess it can just be boiled down to just, you know, the connectivity between people that you get when you're performing together, I suppose is the common denominator there. So yeah, I would have to say that.
Yeah, I think that's perfect. And just like you said, it's, you know, you can have your big moments, but those little things really do make music making worthwhile.
Yeah.
So as far as when you look at the world of art or music or creation, I think it can be a reflection of what's going on, quote unquote, outside in the real world. And the world of art and music also has its problems. So what would you like to see when you're looking towards the future? What would you like to see that can be improved or see more of that could help kind of craft this world and make it something a little bit better?
I think that there needs to be a lot more inclusivity in the performing world. And I know that seems like a very, you know, kind of broad general statement, but it's something that I think a lot of people, you know, myself included to an extent, overlook or don't really realize, you know, the magnitude of, you know, some of the things that are going on. You know, I don't want to bring the tone down too much, but you know, there's a lot of discrimination that does go on. And I think it's something that people don't really think about because they're like, oh, you know, it's performing arts, you know, like everyone's, you know, so, you know, open and including everyone and blah, blah, blah. But it's not always like that, you know. I don't know if you or if anyone listening has heard of the Opera is Racist page. I know it's on Instagram. I'm not sure if it's on any other social media platforms, but just like reading some of those things that people have witnessed or personally experienced is very eye-opening. And, you know, that's certainly not the only type of discrimination that happens in the performing world. And, you know, and I think that's something that really needs to change.
Opera specifically, and the world of classical music as a whole, really is very Eurocentric.
Yes.
Is very money centric, which, you know, kind of sucks to say, because you don't want the world of art to be affected by capitalism, but it really is. I think and I've talked about it on the podcast before with other guests as well. The world of classical music has a lot of hurdles that it needs to get over before we can say we are a pillar of openness and acceptance, because there are just a lot of problems. So
yeah,
I wholeheartedly agree with you. And I think Invox really sets a great tone, because you are so inclusive, you are so diverse, you are so democratic, just like you said. And so I think that spirit comes across, and the fact that it seems so natural too. I really appreciate that about your ensemble. So very cool. I love that. So as far as Invox and you yourself too, what do you hope for in the future as a collaborative musical group? Like where do you want to see Invox go within the, let's say, I don't know, 5 years?
I mean, well, I think you just kind of touched on that. You know, you mentioned that, you know, Invox does pride itself on its attempt to be as inclusive as possible. And, you know, obviously to an extent we can't fully control the people that do audition for us, but that is something we always strive for, is to be as diverse and as inclusive as we possibly can. Still certainly have a ways to go with that, but every time there's, you know, a new round of you know, audition openings, etc., you know, we're always looking for ways to extend our outreach, I'm sorry, as far as we can, you know, for the sake of you know, reaching as many different types of people as we can. You know, obviously we do have some people of color in the group. We do have some LGBTQ members in the group. But, you know, we can always do better. We're always, you know, looking to, even if it's as simple as like changing our language from saying, you know, we're a co-ed group, or we're a, you know, group of men and women. You know, we've started kind of changing our language to we're an SATB group. You know, not trying to virtue signal, but, you know, just an example of, you know, the ways in which we are always striving to be as inclusive as we possibly can. And I certainly think that's a goal that we will continue to have. And then obviously, you know, on a much more surface level type of thing, you know, our goal is always to, you know, perform as much as we can. You know, just have fun, create an enjoyable atmosphere, an enjoyable community of people, and just, you know, reach our audiences in that type of way. You know, and I'm sure once we get back together, we will, you know, be able to continue that and, you know, reach our audiences in whatever way we can, you know, and just have a good time.
The fact that you mention inclusivity, I think that's something that every group can do, and in small ways, just like you were talking about, is talking about your verbiage, maybe changing the way that you advertise and put yourself out there, I think those small changes really do mean a lot. And people who are directly affected by those things, I will never speak for them because if anyone has seen me in person, I am the whitest white boy cisgender dude you have ever met in your entire life. So I would never presume to speak, but I do hope that people who are directly affected by these things will give us more of a view of what they're experiencing so that we, as people who are trying to be more inclusive and to understand better, that we can do that. We can be more understanding and help them and be advocates for these kind of underserved, misrepresented individuals. So
yeah, I agree.
I'm glad to hear that. Okay, so we're kind of wrapping it up, and something that I'd like to ask every guest, and it's kind of, you know, like what this whole podcast is about inspiration. So who has inspired you and why? Could be anyone for any reason.
There's so many. Obviously on a pretty macro level, just in terms of, you know, music kind of just as a, in general, you know, there's so many groups specifically, you know, groups like the Beatles, you know, Queen, Bowie, you know, classic rock is, you know, what I love the most. That certainly is where my love of music started. So I certainly find inspiration from groups like that, and just in terms of, you know, that's my roots. You know, even artists, you know, from today, you know, current artists, you know, Jack White is a big one, Sammy Ray, George Ezra. There's so many that I just love and, you know, inspire me to create and inspire me to think outside the box and do things, you know, differently. But if we're looking more at a micro level type of scale, this is going to sound very corny, I'm sure. But I am very inspired by my friends, you know, by the people who I make music with, specifically in Invox. I know we've talked about them a lot, but you know, they are a very big part of my life, and I've become such a better musician because of them and because of what I've learned from them. I've learned to look at music and just at a piece of music from different viewpoints than what I maybe would have before. You know, if I'm working on, you know, an arrangement or any type of thing, and sometimes I get stuck, I think about, you know, other people in my group, and I think, oh, well, what would they do here? I've completely changed the way I, you know, look at things in terms of music and in terms of process. And even music aside, you know, they have shown me how to be a better leader, a better collaborator, and, you know, just a better friend. I'm inspired by them constantly. So it's definitely, it's a very important part of my life. And I'm very grateful to all the friends I have in that group.
Well, the friendship is evident. And I think it comes across in the best, most fun kind of way. So I'm glad to hear that. So before we kind of come to a close, if you don't mind, please plug Invox, plug yourself. Where can people find you on social media?
Well, my personal Instagram is at AnnieBennett36. I post a lot of my music updates there. I have links to my YouTube channel there if you are interested in listening to any of my own personal projects that I've worked on. You can follow Invox at Invox Chicago on Instagram, and they're on Facebook as well. They also have several videos on YouTube that if you search Invox Chicago, that channel will come up. So yeah, check us out for sure. InvoxChicago.com as well is our website. Yeah, check us out. I hope you, enjoy the acapella music that we've put out. It's been so much fun. So yeah, I hope you enjoy it.
And I'll put all of that information in the blog post and in the kind of doobly-doo description below. So yeah, all of that will be available to you listeners to go and enjoy Annie, go enjoy Invox. They're really doing some special things. So Annie, thank you so much for joining me. It really has been a pleasure.
The pleasure's all mine. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, and I don't know if anyone is familiar, but there is also another special guest, if it finds its way into the recording, the Chicago, the CTA train system. So there might be a little Easter egg for those of you who are familiar with that. So again, thank you so much. And listeners, thank you for stopping by. This has been the New Mavericks.
Prima donna girl. I'm a prima donna girl, yeah.